It's Raining Plastic. That's the unsettling title of a recent study from the U.S. Geological Survey. The research found tiny plastic particles in a rainbow of colors like hot pink and purple in 90% of rainwater samples collected along Colorado's Front Range. That includes a remote site in the mountains. Colorado Public Radio's Michael Elizabeth Sackis reports.
At a community garden in Arvada, Colorado, plots are in full bloom with flowers, fruits, and veggies. And it's hot, not a cloud in the sky. But what Gregory Weatherby wants is rain.
We've been taking samples here off and on and doing different kinds of studies here off and on for well over 20 years.
Weatherby stands next to a machine that collects rain in a bucket. Each week, the samples are filtered and tested. Weatherby's project was about nitrogen pollution.
Not about microplastics. It was the furthest thing from my mind when we first started this project.
Weatherby calls his discovery serendipitous. Usually he sends the rainwater filters off to a lab, but one day he decided to try something different.
I thought maybe I should look at these under a microscope. And when I did, I was a little shocked by the amount of plastic that I saw in them. Chunks of blue, orange, pink. You name it.
These plastics are invisible to the naked eye, tiny pieces of mostly fiber material. This community garden is close to traffic, parking lots, homes, and stores. There's a lot of plastic around. So what really surprised Weatherby was when he saw microplastic in the rainwater collected at a site 10,000 feet above sea level in Rocky Mountain National Park.
Which requires a 3.5-mile hike on snowshoes or skis to get into. That made me realize that what we had here was something that was quite significant, because the question is, how do those plastics get into that remote area?
Weatherby's study doesn't answer that big question, and he doesn't want to speculate, but it makes him think that somehow plastic is transported through the atmosphere. His findings are the first in the U.S., but a similar study out of France this year echoes his results. In a remote part of the Pyrenees Mountains, researchers found microplastics in the rainfall. The lead author told the National Geographic that, quote, microplastic is a new atmospheric pollutant. Weatherby says the plastic could be coming from all sorts of sources, synthetic fibers from our clothing, shreds from tires on the roads. When a bag or bottle breaks down, it becomes tiny pieces that spread.
Now I can't get out of the car at the supermarket without noticing all the plastic trash on the ground.
Plastic is being found everywhere, in the deep ocean, in the stomachs of whales, in the fish that we eat, and in the water we drink. A study by Orb Media found that 94% of tap water samples collected in the United States contained micro and nanoplastics. Alice Fulmer is with the Denver-based Water Research Foundation. She says that plastic in rainwater is just one example of the challenges around treating for these tiny man-made materials.
It's just that there's such an abundance that even removal of most of them can result in some getting through.
Fulmer says research on microplastics is relatively new and hasn't established whether these particles are actually causing harm to people and the environment.
And I think that's why we really need to conduct more research on them, how to treat them if, in fact, they are deemed to be a concern for human health and the environment.
The Water Research Foundation is involved in a project that's looking at ways to remove microplastics from water. But Fulmer is also focused on the big picture.
We've got to then be having those conversations as a society and think holistically about how to prevent them from entering the environment and limiting exposure.
An assistant professor at the University of Denver has some ideas for that. Jack Buffington teaches supply chain management and just released a book called Peak Plastic: The Rise or Fall of Our Synthetic World. Buffington argues it's the supply chain that's created the problem.
We can create these materials at such a cheap price. We can throw them away. We can produce them all over the world. We can ship them all over the world.
He says these plastics weren't designed to be in a circular system, like aluminum cans are, for example. It's easier and more economical to recycle aluminum products than to dig up materials and make them new. And aluminum doesn't downgrade in the process. Buffington says plastics need to be designed the same way.
Problem is that how long is it going to take for that to happen?
Buffington says the first step in addressing the issue is getting people to understand the scope of the problem, like just how pervasive plastic is in our environment. Gregory Weatherby, the researcher with the USGS, wants to get out the same message. That's why he's titled his paper, It's Raining Plastic.
It's an emphatic statement about a condition that we believe is something that people should know about.
That there's more plastic in the environment than what meets the eye. For Here and Now, I'm Michael Elizabeth Zakis.